Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Leveler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So before we start the program, we just wanted to start with a clip of Suffolk AME's endorsed county executive candidate, Ed Romaine.
I've read in Newsday several times that not enough people are working in Suffolk social services, and I don't want to see another news story about children not being protected. Do you plan to make sure that there are enough people to take care of these children?
It is my highest and top priority. I have three grandchildren. My oldest grandchildren, 4 years ago, sat in third grade class in East Moriches School. The young man next to him was murdered by his father. You know the case. I don't have to tell you the case. Child Protective Services is critical. When we don't protect our children, when we don't staff, when we have caseloads beyond the set requirements and we allow things to go unchecked, bad things will happen. Don't pay a bill on time, that's one thing. Cost you more money, that's one thing. Lose the life of a child? We have to tell my grandson that his friend was not coming back. Child Protective Services will be one of my first top priorities. This county has to protect its children. We have to make sure we have enough caseworkers. We have to make sure there's adequate training. We have to make sure that complaints, and I know complaints were made by the teacher, the school nurse, the principal, and the neighbors, and we have to know that we have the power and the ability to check these things out and the time and the staffing to do it. Because all we have to do is fail, even once, and that's the life of a child. Cannot happen.
So my guest this morning is Ryan McGarry, candidate for Suffolk County Legislator, 7th Legislative District, if I remember correctly.
That is correct, sir. 7th District.
And, you know, Ryan, you chief of staff over at AME. You've worked with us for about 6 years now, done tremendous things. I'd love to get into some of the work that you've done with us and how that's preparing you for what you're doing now. But let's start with your history a little bit, where you came from and how you landed on this path.
Yeah, no, good morning again. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, especially on this side of the table. And I appreciate the opportunity to get to work with you and represent 10,000 Suffolk AME members. Yeah, before I joined your team 6 years ago, I had the pleasure of working for two different county executives, our current county executive, Steve Ballone, and his predecessor. So I've worked in the administration under a Republican as well as a Democrat. Before that, I worked in public sector labor. I worked my first job out of college after graduating from Cornell with a labor relations degree, worked for the Transit Workers Union, Local 100 in the city, representing bus drivers, subway engineers, station cleaners, much like AME, a lot of diverse different titles.
Sure.
And really advocating on behalf of working people, something I've always dedicated my career to doing. So honored to be part of the AME team and looking to expand upon that representation.
Sure. And, you know, I guess I'll let our listeners know a little inside story. I really pursued Ryan to be part of this team. He was someone that I knew that had the understanding and the capabilities necessary to bring AME from where it was to where we wanted to go. And it took some doing. You know, we had several conversations. You agreed to come on part-time, not sure, you know, where, you know, what the fit was going to be and whether or not you wanted to do it. And basically every day I say, you know, anything that we talked about, I say, are you ready to come on full-time now? Are you ready to come on full-time now? I'm really happy to have you as part of the team. Want to talk about some of the things that we did, but let's talk about the 7th District first. I know you've lived there. I know you know the issues. You're talking to people, but tell us in your own words. Tell us about the 7th District and why you're running.
Yeah, I love living in the 7th District. I've been a homeowner there for just under 10 years. I grew up here on Long Island, 5 miles down the road from where I live now. The heart of the 7th District, which most of your listeners will know well, is Patchogue. It's a thriving downtown now. So very proud, which I'm sure we'll get into, of the role I've helped play in working with Mayor Pontieri and revitalizing that town. But the 7th District also encompasses Blue Point to Bellport along the South Shore, going up north, capturing North Bellport, North Patchogue, Medford, and the Gordon Heights area.
And listen, it's a diverse community. Again, you're right. You know, Patchogue is kind of known. It's buzz out there. You'll hear about, you know, other places trying to revitalize and always quoting Patchogue and always talking about Patchogue. So I guess it's probably a good time just to kind of segue into, you know, what your role has been in working down there to try and help make Patchogue what it is.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. When I'm not working, I'm always working, right? So I'm very proud to be volunteering in Patchogue, in my community, something that I was raised to do, give back and always be working toward the greater good. So shortly after I moved into the downtown area, I had already known the mayor, Mayor Pontieri, doing a fantastic job. Just 15 years ago, they had about a 70% or higher vacancy yeah. rating in downtown. Under his leadership, now it's, as you said, one of the examples of successful revitalization. So since 2015, I joined the Community Development Agency, which primarily focused on a lot of the beautification projects, street lighting, sidewalk installations, figuring out how to get grant funding for those projects and implement them. So help make Patchogue a place people want to come to. And after serving a few years on that board, I vacated that position to take on a role on the zoning board, where I'm really trying to work to keep everything in harmony with what the community wants and expects, but at the same time allow for folks looking to invest resources into our community to do so, so that we can have a thriving business district in downtown.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, it is, again, such a great example of revitalization that you know, it's quoted all the time. You know, we want to turn our community to something like what Patchogue is. And I'm sure there are a ton of folks now that, you know, I mean, people are there. If you go there on a Friday night in the summer, you know people are there. And so it's a great opportunity for businesses. It's a great opportunity for residents. You know, it's a very tight-knit community in a way for such an active area. You know, you're always seeing people that know other people and walking around. And, you know, a few times I've been down in the actual village area itself, you know, walking from, you know, one store to another, I'm going to find somebody that I know or somebody that knows me and end up striking a conversation, walk into a restaurant, see somebody you know. You know, it is a place to be. And it's more than just vision, right? Like, so to make something like this happen, you have to have the idea, you have to be able to see it. But then it takes folks like you to make that happen. And so we're going to segue into AME work now.
Beautiful.
Because we've had some very interesting conversations, you and I, on, you know, where I see the future of this organization, where it needs to go. And to be able to have those conversations with you and figure out the logistics to make those things a reality. I mean, we have some big examples. And why don't we talk a little bit about, you know, what those projects were and, you know, I guess the group involvement, the union involvement, and yourself specifically in making these things happen.
No, I mean, it really has been a thrill and an honor to get to work with you and your entire board, do my best to implement your vision on behalf of the members that we so proudly represent. That's the main thing. I mean, I know we talk about it on the show, but to be able to work on behalf of working people has been a thrill, to raise their or elevate their the awareness of the work they do, the services and essential vital programs that they help implement and provide. Means the world, and that they're such altruistic people. So one of the first projects I think we really worked on is, you were still very new at that time to your position. Obviously, I was new coming to the union, but not new to the county. And we really wanted to focus on outreach, member engagement, and make the union a union. And I think you and your team have done that successfully, and I'm proud to have played a part in it. We're much more organized, much more able to mobilize our members. And part of that was through a very successful contract that you and your team were able to negotiate. So playing the part I've played for AME has been a real honor, and looking forward to talking more about the specifics that we've done together. But on that level, just an sure. honor to be part of the team.
Sure. You mentioned your involvement, you know, living in a community and giving back to that community, but your involvement with AME has allowed you to work on issues that are global and impact all the residents in Suffolk County. And that would be your job. If you were a legislator, you would represent your district, but you would be also addressing issues. You chair committees and you participate in all the various discussions, and especially when there's general meetings dealing with diverse topics that affect everybody everywhere, you would have to represent all walks of life from all different districts and add your voice to the mix. You know, just an example of one of the things I'm talking about, you know, when we worked on getting this 911 bill to get first responder status for the 911 operators, that was a big lift. It was a lot of work, and it affected all 911 on-call operators across the state of New York, because early on we had the philosophical discussion, bantering back and forth, what's the best approach here? We need to get this done. We need this simple recognition for these folks that the everyday person, you know, if you ask the everyday person on the street, and this ended up being our winning argument, if you ask the everyday person on the street, when you pick up the phone and you call 911, that person that you speak to, is that a first responder? And universally, the answer was yes. But we decided early on in our conversations, we didn't want to make this a Suffolk County AME member only bill. This was, we recognized this was a problem for our members, but we recognized it was a bigger issue. And if labor is doing its job correctly, if AME is participating in the labor movement and believes in labor's values, then this is an everybody problem. This is something for all of us. And so it made a little bit of work that was going to be difficult, a lot of work that was going to be that much more difficult. And your involvement, obviously, essential across the board. You know, the whole team had different things to carry and different conversations to have and messages. But your role as chief of staff was kind of keeping all those threads together, having a central repository on the information and status of where we were. And so, yeah, that's an example of what.
Yeah, no, the 911 bill is definitely a badge of honor for me and one I take personally. You know it well. I have a framed copy of that bill in my office at AME. Very proud of the work we did there. And just to go back to something you said, as you were segueing into that 911 legislation, giving first responder status to our dispatchers and operators, you know, the idea of representing the residents of the county as opposed to the members of AME, I really see that as a continuation because the needs are so aligned. Our members are residents, and they are providing the essential and vital services to the greater population of Suffolk County. So if we're advocating as we do on behalf of our members, we're really advocating on behalf of the taxpayers to make sure that they're getting the services that they are paying for, that they're getting the right size staffing and the efficiencies that they want to see, and that our members are delivering those essential and vital services. I mean, and the first example that really resonates with people is the 911 dispatcher and operator. If you're calling 911, that is your worst moment of your life, and you need somebody professional, calm, collected on the other end of the line to dispatch services, but also give you life-saving instructions in the meantime. So they really are our first responders. If you look at the levels of stress, if you look at the impact that it has on their health, their family life, it's comparable, if not in some cases worse, the trauma than the actual first responders arriving on scene. As a volunteer firefighter, I know we'd be lost without those professionals. So to get them that first responder status was a tantamount priority. And the fact that we were able to do it in the way we were, we worked with Assemblyman Joe DiStefano, former retired AME member.
Sure.
You know, he obviously being of the minority in the state, we need to work in a bipartisan way. We worked with the former Assemblyman Peter Abate on language. And that's the fun of government. And that's a lot of give and take. You know, we had what we wanted. And in order to get it passed, you have to make compromise.
Sure.
So how do you make compromise while still holding the line and not giving up on what you're fighting for? And I think we achieved that. We got them first responder status under New York state law, which not only makes them feel more valued, but it makes them more valued and it makes them more eligible for important benefits that only first responders receive. So very proud to have worked with your team on getting that done.
Yeah, no, listen, it was excellent work. And, you know, I think it's also indicative of, you know, one of the reasons why you have the AME endorsement, you know, seeing your ability to get these things done. You know, I think generally the public sees election season as, you know, a couple of candidates from a particular area, you know, criticizing each other back and forth and fighting. And, you know, you get to see how well they fight. But actually getting government done is a lot of consensus building. There are a lot of, you know, maybe heated discussions, but they're heated because people are passionate in their values and they want to achieve the best possible results. So gaining that understanding from someone with an opposing viewpoint, getting them on the same page and getting what they need and getting what you need done all at the same time, it's a lot of conversation, it's a lot of discussion, it's a lot of, you know, background research and everything else. And that's really what gets done as a legislator. That's really what gets done. And we got to see it firsthand for 6 years, your skill and ability to get those things done.
I appreciate it. It's been a real privilege.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we could talk about a few other things, but I think one other thing that I think illustrates an example of why we understood you to be the candidate for this district is to talk about the May Day Music Festival. And that was, you know, the concept behind that was people get to see unions usually through the media, and they get to see it when it's a time of conflict. And we think about right now the different strikes that you've heard about, the different, you know, illegal actions being taken by big corporations to prevent unions from forming. I think of Starbucks in this instance, but Amazon is probably not exempt from this as well. But you see all of these conflicts and you think, well, that's what labor's about. They're going to try and stop me from getting my cup of coffee unless, you know, they get a bigger piece of the pie and whatever else. But there's so much more that goes into being a union member and what that secondary family is. You know, your work life, you spend a big chunk of your day every single week for many years of your life, you know, working and working with people. And there's so much more in being a union member. So the idea was we wanted to open up to the public and let them come to an event that we knew a large portion of union members were going to be at. And there was going to be no conflict, and there was going to be no preaching, there was going to be no pushing of union values or anything else. We just wanted them in the same space to see how union people live in everyday life, how they go out, how they enjoy a show, how they interact with other people. It has been hugely successful, but it's a major undertaking, you know, and you have experience with this stuff, you know, working under County Executive Blown, working on the marathon. That was another big endeavor, and, you know, excellent work there. Obviously, you know, I don't need to reinforce that to you, but you know, maybe talk a little bit about the May Day Music Festival and the work that went into that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And you mentioned the marathon, and I think the marathon is something that was just one thing I was responsible for while working for County Executive Alone, but it was probably the most visible thing that I was working on, most tangible, most relatable. And I think you were able to see the success we were able to have with the marathon and wanted to create something new, and you knew you had a team in place that was capable of putting an event of that scale together. So yeah, with the marathon, that was a big undertaking where we were able to create a annual event. I am very proud that Steve Ballone has continued it, and it's going to break over $1 million raised for local Suffolk County veterans who call Suffolk home. They've given so much for our region, our country. The least we can do is have an event to celebrate them and then also give back. So then when I joined AME and was part of your team, we tried to take a similar approach and say, how can we address some of those things that you mentioned where the perspective or the view of labor and a union member, what it meant, it was a punchline rather than a source of pride in right. A lot of conversations.
Right.
Or it was a political tool where unions are the same as a big corporation in terms of lobbying, when really it's a conglomeration of people just advocating for themselves and their neighborhood and their families.
Right.
So, and then the beautiful thing about the May Day Music Festival is the overlap that music has always had with labor and social justice, economic justice. So in order to bring that all together, was really an amazing opportunity and something I think we've done fairly successfully. We're able to bring together in either at South Haven Park or where we ended up at Bald Hill Amphitheater, a wonderful event, family-friendly event, where we're able to introduce ourselves as union members to the greater region and really let them see behind the curtain that we're not the scary other. We are your friends, your family, your neighbors. We like doing the same thing you guys do.
Yeah.
Let's come out in the sunshine, enjoy some nice relaxing beverages, some great music, have a great day with the family, some family fun. And then, by the way, we're going to raise some money for charity, or at least try to in the process. So we've raised about 1,000 pounds of food each year at the May Day Music Festival, giving back to our neighbors in need. And then we always try through sponsorships to raise some money for charity, whether it be scholarships or just a donation to those critical food banks like Long Island Cares.
Yeah, and you know, there has been each year just that incremental, that buzz before the concert each year. Every time the festival rolls around, you start hearing from more and more people, and you see that spread from it was very, you know, union-centric, and it was very much this is a union thing, to now this is a regional festival. It's one of the first ones that starts off, you know, the season, the music season. And people are out there, they're thinking about it, they're talking about it, and they don't necessarily even think about labor when it comes to this festival. They just think about having a good time, and they had a great experience. And to us, that's the best success story that you can have.
No, you're absolutely right, because it's in the background. They become aware of AME, they become aware of the labor movement, but it's not, as you said, in your face. It's not forced down your throat. It's not a political event. It's just a family fun event. And then on our side, too, for our members, it's just a great engagement event. It gives our members something to be proud of. When they hear their friends, their neighbors, their family members talking about this festival, they have ownership in it. That's sure. Our festival. We do this.
Right.
And I'm proud to be a part of AME. And that's what we want our members to feel, empowered and part of something bigger than oneself.
And so these are big values that require big decisions and a great deal of work to happen. And your role as chief of staff has been to, you know, kind of move these visions from concepts on paper to reality. And again, keep everybody kind of swimming in the same direction while we're working on these different projects. And it lends itself perfectly towards your ability to represent the 7th District and represent the people of Suffolk County around the Horseshoe. So let's talk a little bit about your campaign. Obviously, a lot of work goes into that as well. But, you know, why don't you briefly touch on, you know, how things are going with your campaign and what your plans are, you know, moving up to November 7th?
Yeah, so to start with the second point, our plans, you know, we really undertook this campaign because we have a real vision of what we think an elected office should be about and what we think elected officials should be about. So if it wasn't me, I'd want the right person for the job. And first and foremost, you keep using the words, and that's because they're the right words. And that's service and representation. We need elected leaders who are going to listen, serve, and represent their constituents. But beyond that, we really want to achieve great things at a regional level of government. The county is a regional level of government. It should be undertaking large-scale projects instead of impeding them. And these large-scale projects are primarily infrastructure projects, and I'm talking about clean water infrastructure, so that we're putting people to work in the short term, good union jobs to lay out the infrastructure needed. And then it also helps further our economy by then providing the framework for private investors to want to develop or be able to develop or invest in communities. They can't do that without government doing the right thing and providing that skeletal system of sewers, transportation, energy infrastructure. So we should be undertaking those large projects. And then not only is that good economically and good for jobs, but we live on an island. And without taking care of our water quality, we are sentencing ourselves to literal death.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we need to make sure our drinking water is safe for mm-hmm. ourselves, our family, our children, the water that we're bathing in, the water that we're recreating in, our tourism industry, it all ties back to water. And the fact that the legislative majority voted against advancing clean water infrastructure projects was extremely disheartening and actually made it very much more so encouraging on our part that we knew what we're fighting for here. And we want to bring clean water, not just to the 7th District, but to the entire county. So in terms of how the campaign is going, those are the things we want to achieve should we be elected on November 7th. And I hope your listeners will go out and vote on November 7th. The campaign's going extremely well, and in large part, that's thanks to AME. That's thanks to our brothers and sisters in labor.
Sure.
Very honored and humbled by the outpouring of support that the campaign has received from the greater labor movement. Obviously, AME was the first, and I'll never forget that, to align behind us and endorse my candidacy for the 7th District. But since then, almost every single labor union that I've had the pleasure and opportunity to screen before has come on board with an endorsement. And not only that, it's not just empty words. They are prioritizing the 7th District as the race to watch and the race to invest in, both in terms of campaign contributions, which, you know, it's a necessary evil of the game because we have a message that we need to get out to people, and getting a message out costs money. But also that classic labor movement, grassroots organizing effort of boots on the ground, getting folks to knock doors with me, go out, tell their neighbors, you know, I'm a proud labor member. I'm a proud union member in the community, and I'm supporting Ryan McGarry for LD7, and here's why. That firsthand testimonial means a lot to folks, and to have labor support there We're doing extremely well. We are looking forward to victory on November 7th. And with Labor's help, we will get there.
Yeah, and listen, that's going to be a bittersweet day from my perspective. You know, all of the work that we've talked about earlier in the show, the great things that you've done. But knowing that you're going to take the skill sets that you've developed across a long and diverse career and put that to work, not just for the 7th District, but for all people in Suffolk County. You know, you talk about water quality. I mean, this is a big issue. You know, when we look at all of the different factors we look at for, you know, endorsements, it's never, you know, these decisions are never made in a vacuum. There's a committee of people. There's a number of factors that we have to, you know, analyze and make decisions on when we say this is the candidate we believe in, you know, and we're going to tell the public, we know, you know, we're going to tell the public, these are all the people we believe in, and this is why. And we talk to them about our process. But one of the parts of the process is actually polling everyday people and asking them, you know, the things that are most important to them. And universally, very high numbers responding back, you know, greater than 50%. Any district, doesn't matter, red, blue, purple, whatever, all coming back very favorable on water quality. They know that water quality is an issue. They know it needs to be addressed. And we're looking forward to having people in there that understand that and know how to get it done, because you're right. It could be a death sentence for Suffolk County, for Long Island in general. The tourism industry, you can't understate that enough. I mean, the beaches on Long Island are famous globally. This is a place where people come to experience that stuff. And if we don't take the right steps now to protect our water quality, if we don't take the steps necessary on infrastructure to continue to develop the economy, right? And make things better so that businesses can provide better services at the same operating cost, simply by just having things like sewer and clean energy and all of these other things. But if we don't take these steps, we have decided what's going to happen 30,
yeah,
maybe even 20 years from now.
No, you're 100% right. And that's, again, you know, it was so discouraging that my opponent and the majority of the legislature did not advance this water quality referendum, because to your point, the voters wanted it. And the voters would have approved it had it been before them. But at the very least, they wanted to have the opportunity to have that vote. And unfortunately, they were robbed of it. And folks like you and I have spent almost 10 full years working toward this referendum, working toward the Water Quality Restoration Act. So to hear now in the 8th year, in the final weeks before this could have been put on the ballot this November, concerns raised out of nowhere, rings of disingenuousness to me. It really does, because you and I and our partners at the Long Island Federation of Labor, our partners in building and construction trades, but also our partners where you don't always see commonality coming together for that word consensus, environmental groups, developers, all coming together with a plan that we put forward. And it was a good plan to provide needed infrastructure funds to address water quality in our region, and also would have made us, this is a big point, made us eligible for external revenue streams, which we are currently not eligible for. So that's federal money. We give more to the federal government than we get back. That's state money. We give more to the state than we get back. And here we're handcuffing ourselves by not allowing us to be eligible for these potential revenue streams. And then to your point, the continuation or domino effect impact of it just doesn't stop. Our tourism industry, our fishing and shellfishing industry, these are vital industries to our economy. And without them, we really do run into trouble at the county level of government because, as you know, but maybe not our listeners, because most of us, we pay our taxes either as part of our mortgage or just the bill. We don't really look at the line-by-line breakdown. But for the county, our general fund, the average person is paying less than $100 a year for the essential and vital services that the county government provides. We are primarily funded through sales tax. So to have a thriving tourism industry is so important, because that's external money coming into our region being spent. Instead of our own residents feeding the economy, we're bringing folks in to spend their money here locally. And that's a huge boon to our region. And to risk losing that puts us all at a tremendous disadvantage.
Yeah. And listen, recreation in general, whether it's restaurants, you know, bars, whatever else, they all benefit from sewers as well. It doesn't raise their cost of operating business. It allows them to provide better services. And in many areas where you can't have a facility to service what the community wants in terms of a particular business without having a massive land that would cost you too much to operate on, because you need the size of the property needs to be large enough to handle the water coming in and draining back out. If it's in a, you know, like a septic system as opposed to a sewer system, so you can have a smaller piece of property doing more work, and it's cost savings to the business and provides the community at least as good of services as they had before. So there's all these little economic aspects of this that you hear about sewers, you think about yourself, you think about your house, and you don't realize the impact that that has on business is actually going to affect your bottom line also.
Oh, without
it's gonna
doubt.
Your costs are going to go down, and you're going to have better services.
Right. And, I mean, everything comes back to sewers. It really does. And I hate to belabor the issue, but it's an important topic. I mean, we have a housing shortage on Long Island right now. We can't build more housing units without sewers. To your point, I grew up in Sayville on the South Shore. The community doesn't have sewers. If a new restaurant opens, they have to serve you, no matter how nice of a restaurant it is, with disposable silverware, paper plates, because they are prohibited from putting in dishwashers because the system can't handle it without sewers. So we are really strangling out entrepreneurs, small business owners, and investors to our community and cutting our noses to spite our face here.
It's lifeblood of the economy, these small businesses. So real quick, Ryan, we have to wrap here, but can you just tell us a little bit about if anybody's interested in getting involved in your campaign, where they can go, and any events that might be coming up?
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate that question. Of course, we are a campaign for the people, so to get the people involved and part of this campaign, this effort, is something that means the world to what we're trying to achieve on behalf of our community. We'd love folks to come involved or just bring their concerns to our attention, because going back to service and representation, that's what we want to do, and we need to hear from folks in order to do that effectively. Our website is RyanMcGarryForThePeople.com. We encourage folks to go there. If people want to get involved, all the information's right there. We also just opened up a headquarters right in the heart of Patchogue at 8 West Main Street. We're there every weekday, most weekends, so folks can actually just pop in and introduce themselves. I try to spend some time there every day, but if I'm not there, we have some volunteers and staff members who are. Just a great way to engage us directly. And then we're also on social media through RyanMcGarryForThePeople.com. You can find all those channels. And really looking forward to folks getting on board and fighting for positive change for our community, because we need it.
Great work, Ryan. And again, thank you for all you've done for AME. Thank you for what you're doing now to put yourself out there in a bigger and better way to help the community. And thank you for carving. I know how busy you are. I am partly responsible for that. but I thank you for carving out some time to speak to us this morning.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to you, your members, and all the listeners. So thank you so much, Dan. Your pleasure.
And one last time, we'd like to play a clip for you from AME's endorsed county executive candidate, Ed Romaine.
I've read in Newsday several times that not enough people are working in Suffolk social services, and I don't want to see another news story about children not being protected. Do you plan to make sure that there are enough people to take care of these children?
It is my highest and top priority. I have three grandchildren. My oldest grandchildren, 4 years ago, sat in third grade class in East Moriches School. The young man next to him was murdered by his father. You know the case. I don't have to tell you the case. Child Protective Services is critical. When we don't protect our children, when we don't staff, when we have caseloads beyond the set requirements and we allow things to go unchecked, bad things will happen. Don't pay a bill on time, that's one thing. Cost you more money, that's one thing. Lose the life of a child? We had to tell my grandson that his friend was not coming back. Child Protective Services will be one of my first top priorities. This county has to protect its children. We have to make sure we have enough caseworkers. We have to make sure there's adequate training. We have to make sure that complaints, and I know complaints were made by the teacher, the school nurse, the principal, and the neighbors, and we have to know that we have the power and the ability to check these things out and the time and the staffing to do it. Because all we have to do is fail, even once, and that's the life of a child. Cannot happen.